Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
I tried one time. I'm just not very good at lighting charcoal, I found.
That's a you problem.
Sports Talk Saturday.
It's not really that much anymore. Do you feel like
it is.
You feel the same way?
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Again, you problem.
On WGR.
Every week we point out you problems.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's what this show is for. It's finding me problems.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. No Nate Geary today. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer for another couple hours here on WGR. Looking for your calls at 803-0550. How pumped are you for Bills-Bengals tomorrow? Home opener. It's going to be a beautiful day out. The Bills are 2-0. They're playing an 0-2 team who we have some affection for. It will feel maybe you might feel a little guilty rooting against the Bengals, who did us that favor a couple years ago. And we have a nice relationship with the Bengals. You don't want to tarnish it, but you got to get this win.
Let's make something entirely clear about that. Yes, it's great that they helped the Bills make the playoffs, but they also beat them earlier that season.
Yeah, but they made up for it.
I know, they made up for
plus
it.
Plus some.
You know what? Let's just not even... I'm cool with not having to cheer for them for 3 hours. I'm very cool with this.
It was arguably the best throw in NFL history.
Go hit
them. That's not true. That's not true.
Go hit them. Tee off, Jerry Hughes.
AFC North's a weird one right now. The whole AFC is a weird one. Part of my optimism about the Bills right now is obviously it's partially about them. But you got to remember who they played. The Jets kind of stink, and Darnold was not himself that week one game. He said it himself. He was just not feeling himself, and I can see that. He missed Robbie Anderson on a deep throw that would have won the game for them down the stretch. And I wonder if Sam Darnold's feeling himself if he hits that throw and the Bills are now 1-1. But they weren't. Give him credit for it. They came back 16 down, and they come back and win. Great. The Giants, not a challenge at all. Just was not worried about them. And I thought the Giants were the second worst team in the league coming into the year behind Miami, and that might be coming to fruition. Then all the other stuff that's happened in the AFC, like that is really where my optimism lies. It's part the Bills. It's a big part. Look at the AFC. Look at it. The South might be terrible. Did you see Thursday Night Football? We'll talk Jaguars with Mike Dempsey in about an hour. They look good, but or were the Titans just that bad? And the Titans beat the Browns, and like there's all this stuff going on. So you look at the South. Let's go division by division here for a second. The South, the Texans can't protect Deshaun Watson, but he's special. That team's great. They should win that division. So one team's coming out of that division. Let's say Tucson. Indy looks all right, but they're certainly not the same team with Andrew Luck. They lost Andrew Luck. Okay, so there's one team that's taking a hit. Jacksonville lost Nick Foles. And Minshew, like, that's a story right now, but are we really expecting that to keep up to this level? He is, like, he's got, like, an 80% completion rate. Like, is that going to keep up? There's going to be some regression there, I would think. And they're 1-2, so how worried am I about Jacksonville? Not a ton. Tennessee, man, they looked incompetent on offense, and they've been incompetent on offense for years. Just couldn't do anything. It's just 3-yard runs into a cloud of dust up the middle for Derrick Henry. That's their offense. Every single pass, it seems, goes to a tight end or 10 yards over the receiver's head. They have two Tannehills. Mariota, he's okay. He's not that good. He's not a franchise quarterback. And you bench him and you almost get the same thing at Tannehill. So they've taken a hit. The North is not looking as strong as you certainly would have thought coming into the year. Cincinnati's 0-2. Cleveland, what am I supposed to think of Cleveland? The thing about Cleveland is not only have they've not looked like a team that deserved the hype that they were getting in the season. Their schedule coming up is pretty brutal. We talk a lot about the Jets' schedule coming up, and I don't even know if that matters anymore just because the Jets can't do anything. But the Browns, after getting spanked at home by Tennessee, 43 points for the Titans. And the Titans can't do anything on offense. So somehow they put that performance up. Then you beat the Jets handily, but they weren't that impressive. They weren't overly impressive in that Jet game. If Sam Darnold is healthy, I think that game is really close. Now, listen to what they have to do. Listen to what Cleveland's next couple games are. Home against the Rams, maybe the best team in the NFC, probably the best team in the NFC right now. Then they have to go to Baltimore, who's 2-0, and Lamar Jackson's on fire. Then they have to go to the West Coast and play at San Francisco, who's 2-0. Then they get to come back home, but you get Seattle, who's formidable. And then you have to go to Foxborough and play the Patriots. So, listen, I was a big Browns believer coming into the season, and I might still want to tell you that they're going to be a team, if not winning that division, they'll still be challenging for it. But they have got some tough games coming up. They might be 2-4. That's realistic. They could be 2-4 after that stretch of games. So Cleveland, not going as hot as they thought. Pittsburgh, obviously, they lose Roethlisberger, and that's a major step back. So I might have to worry about them. Plus, they're 0-2. Baltimore looks great, but they've beaten Miami and Arizona. Let's slow our roll a little bit. Kind of like with the Bills for me. I'm holding off on judging Baltimore fully because they've beaten Miami and Arizona. And Arizona was at home. So let's see how they look against Kansas City. The North doesn't look as good as we thought. The South doesn't look as good as we thought. And even the West, the Chiefs are amazing. Not the Chiefs. But the Chargers have a ton of injuries. Derwin James is hurt. Hunter Henry is hurt. Mike Williams is banged up with his knee. Melvin Gordon is still not back. They've got a ton of guys missing. And they lost to the Lions last week. So maybe they're not a gimme for the playoffs like I thought coming into the season. And then Denver stinks and Oakland stinks. So suddenly, the Bills might not even have to be as good as they've looked in the first two games. And they very well could make the playoffs. They could almost, their floor could be, hey, be what you were 2 years ago. Be an average team who gets a little lucky, get to 9-10 wins, and maybe you get in on some tiebreakers. That actually could happen this year. And that's saying they are not as good as they've looked. If they are as good as they've looked, this team's making the playoffs. If they look like they have in the first two games, this team is making the playoffs. The conference is so much weaker than I definitely thought coming into the year. And some of that is circumstance, right? It's the quarterbacks going out. Foles, Roethlisberger, Luck. I think I'm missing somebody in there. But those guys missing games, one of them quitting, that's been a big factor in this. But the Bills could really take an opportunity here to make the playoffs as a wild card team, which was a scenario that I didn't really think was all that likely given how many teams had all this hype going into the year. Hell, I was talking about maybe chasing New England down being more likely, but I don't know. Maybe New England too. Who's New England played? They played Miami and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at home. The Pittsburgh win's impressive.
It's impressive, but I think the bigger question was, what was that offense doing for the Steelers? Because you know that their defense is bad.
Here's the thing. I'm not sold on them being better than an 11-win team as much as I'm not sold on the Bills being better than a 9-win team.
Yeah, like I think that New England beat up on a Pittsburgh team that could be beaten up upon.
Yeah.
So
next week is the measuring stick. If the Bills want to be a really good team this year, you beat Cincinnati at home. That happens. You beat the Bengals at home. And then we get to have a week measuring up the Patriots, who are going to smash the Jets. That's going to happen. So they're going to be 3-0. And if the Bills can also be 3-0, and you go into that Week 4 game, both teams undefeated, you're at home. They don't have Antonio Brown anymore. And for on-the-field purposes, that's a hit. I mean, their receiving core was one of the best in the league with him. And now that he's not there, for good reason he's not there, but now that he's not there, I mean, you're back to starting Philip Dorsett. So suddenly, I'm not thinking about trading for Jalen Ramsey anymore because I don't really think I need him anymore when I'm playing New England. So give us that week. This game tomorrow has to be a win if the expectation is going to remain where it is, which is a 10-win playoff team for the Bills. And I don't know how you could think anything less of them right now. Like, I might still project them for 9. I think if I picked the schedule right now for you, which I'm not going to do, that's Howard's thing. I'll leave that to him. But if I were going to do it right now, I think I'd have them at 9 wins. But that puts you in the margin of error of being a playoff team. And because of how the conference has looked, because of how the Bills have looked, because I'm not 100% sold yet on New England being this monster in the AFC, I will give you, they still deserve to be heavy favorites for the division, and they are still a guaranteed lock to make the playoffs. But I'm already thinking about next week just being a real opportunity to not only prove that you are a legitimate team in this conference that's going to make some noise, but that the days of New England running away with the AFC are over. Like, I don't even need you to win the AFC East. I don't even need you to win the AFC East. Can you just make it a fight? Can you make it a fight? I made a bold prediction going into the year. My bold prediction going into the season was that Bills-Patriots Week 16 in Foxborough would be for first place in the AFC East. I didn't say the Bills were going to win it. I didn't say the Bills were going to win the division. But I had New England going into the year at 10 wins. And I had the Bills at 8 or 9. So I thought it was realistic to think, hey, Week 16, that's going to be for first place. And I wonder if because New England's schedule is just as easy as yours, and that you might have problems making up ground on them over the course of the year, that next week is not only important to show that you're a good team, but it's important to have this be even a conversation for the rest of the season. Like, can I at least be in the conversation with them? That's not asking a ton, is it? I'm not asking you to beat New England in the playoffs. I'm not asking you to win the division over them, but can I at least be in that conversation? And that is something that, you know, everyone's kind of got their turn with that. The Bills haven't, but the Jets got their turn with that. They were right there in the division a couple years. They beat them in the playoffs twice, or once, maybe. Miami, they've had their turn with that. They won the division. Brady was out, you know, but they were in that. Chad Pennington once had them in the race for that division. Or maybe Pennington was the one who won the division. But, like, they've had their turns. The Bills haven't even had their turns being in a fight with the Patriots. It's just they run us over every time, and we're 5-6 games behind, and they're on a 24-game winning streak, whatever, against us. And I just want to be, I want to be in the same league. I don't even need to beat them. I want to be the Chiefs. I want to be the Chiefs, not even with Mahomes, but with Alex Smith. Who, you know, they're always right there, but they never beat the Patriots, but they're always right there. I just want to be right there. That's in the same league. And I just want the Bills to be in that same position. For that to happen, you don't have to beat New England. You have to beat the Bengals. You have to beat the Bengals. The Bengals are 0-2. The Bengals are throwing the ball a lot right now. The offensive line is banged up. Andre Smith, Michael Jordan, two of their starting offensive linemen are banged up, who are not that great to begin with. So a Bills pass rush that, you know, it's not the best in the world with Jerry Hughes and Trent Murphy and Ed Oliver's looking pretty good up the middle so far. They're not the best in the league, but they're competent. They're good. They're not great, but they're good. They're a good unit. And you're going up against an underwhelming offensive line. Cordy Glenn, by the way, missing for the Bengals too. An underwhelming offensive line that's also hurt. The Bills should have a field day tomorrow. They should be able to get after Andy Dalton. They should be able to keep that Bengals run game near the bottom of the league like it's been. I think Joe Mixon's got like 28 rushing yards on the season. He's a really good running back. There's just nowhere for him to run. And the Bills should be able to continue that. They should be able to win that position battle. And they're missing A.J. Green. So, you know, they have good depth receivers, but not great. I'm not overly scared of Tyler Boyd and John Ross. They should be able to hold Cincinnati again, like they did to the Giants, like they did to the Jets, under 20 points. I think this Bills defense has reached a point where when they play a team that's got holes like that, they should be able to capitalize and show that they're one of the dominant defenses in the league. Because The Bills really don't have holes. Cincinnati, that's the difference, the big difference to me between where a team like the Bengals are right now and where a team like the Bills are. The Bengals are missing offensive linemen. The Bengals can't run the football. And the Bills, on the other hand, they have injuries in the secondary. Like, they have holes. The Bills, point to me one position on their team where you're like, all right, they're desperate. Like, they don't have a guy. They are so well balanced that I could probably tell you every position on the Bills team is fine, at the very least. It's at least fine. Like, I don't think you could pick on any point on their roster. Maybe tight end, but like, I think they've done fine in that regard so far.
Even tight end has been a pleasant surprise. I mean,
right.
Honestly, I might suspect that the Bengals might be able to give the secondary a little bit of headaches tomorrow, because Ross looks like he's finally emerging as that top 10 pick that he was supposed to be, and Tyler Boyd has kind of come into his own. Not having Adrian Green certainly doesn't help them, but I might suspect that Dalton could give them some minor headaches tomorrow.
They've thrown the football more than anyone in the league so far.
That also is attributed to their paltry 1.8 yards per attempt in the running game.
To me,
woof.
The reason I'm not overly scared of those guys isn't necessarily how they've played or who they are. It's, I think this Bills defense is strong enough where if an opposing offense has to be one-dimensional, if they have to do one thing against you, that this Bills defense is good enough to where they can snuff that out. And that's kind of why I'm not thinking that the Bengals are going to score a lot of points tomorrow. I think the over-under is 6, or not the over-under. The over-under is 40-something. I think the projected score for the Bills was 25-19 from Vegas. They're a 6-point favorite, and 44, I think, was the total. So 25-19, like, I would project with confidence the Bengals are not getting to 20 points tomorrow. And that's not a nothing offense. Like, that's an established quarterback who we know exactly what he's going to give you. That's a good running back. But when you give me one hole on your unit, which with the Bengals right now is offensive line, then I think that this Bills defense is good enough to where they're going to capitalize on that, and they're going to make you, they're going to make you punt a lot. Like, even the Jets. The Jets were going in week one. They had talent. Like, they weren't the Giants. They had respectable receivers. They had a respectable quarterback. They had a good running back. But, you know, you give me one advantage, which was I thought the Bills' defensive line was owning them almost all day, then you're not scoring more than 17. The Giants last week, same thing. The offensive line was not very good for the Giants, except on that first drive. Like, they were really good on the first drive. But then I've got receivers who can't get any separation. And the Bills, just because they're so well-balanced, if you give me one weakness, I think they can. They're the defense in the league right now amongst only a select few that are able to just shut you down because of that. That's another reason why I'm partly optimistic about them. It's part the quarterback. It's in part how good the defense is. And maybe even bigger than those two parts, it's the conference is just not what we expected it to be. It's just not. And there's injuries and there's luck quitting that affect that, but even the teams like the Browns, who we thought were going to be really good, don't look so good. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to take a break here. We're going to get to Jake Lisco from Locked On Bengals after the break. And yeah, we'll get an update on the Bills' opponent for tomorrow.
Not to mention, though, we've got someone hanging out on location today in Jeremy White. Jeremy White is hanging out at Buffalo Gallery and Gift Shops. And
what's up, fellas?
There he is.
Jeremy, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm at the McKinley Mall. It's the grand reopening of the Buffalo store here, which is impressive. I'm telling you, this is a nice spot. And Deion Dawkins is going to swing by, too. They've got a big stage up there for Deion Dawkins. People can come meet Deion Dawkins.
All right.
Anyway, we're here at the McKinley Mall, Buffalo's largest retailer of all things Buffalo, is the Buffalo Store. And walking in and around, there's hats, there's shirts, but there's really nice stuff. Whatever you might be looking for gifts, whether it's Yeti tumblers or golf shirts, windbreakers, I mean, everything you could want is here. There's both Bills and Sabres hats and gear, lots of cool stuff. We're here till 2 o'clock. You can spin our prize wheel. Deion Dawkins will be here from 1 to 5. He's also doing a charity event while here. You may remember the very famous, well, not famous yet, but it's working on it, the soundbite about mixing up the mac and cheese.
Oh, did you bring some mac and cheese?
Not only is the mac and cheese a shirt now, there's okay. a shirt that says stir it up, you can get that, and there's a shirt that's got the whole quote on it on the on a box of mac and cheese. And if you bring a mac and cheese donation, you get 15% off your purchase today of $25 or more. And then Dion's taking all that mac and cheese and donating it to Rooted in Love Charity to help feed people that need the help. And I think offensive line coach Bobby Johnson just walked in, but I don't know if I would pick him out. They say he looks like Sal Capaccio, and I think that looks like a bigger Sal Capaccio, so I think he's here.
I was going to say, would you know what the Bills offensive line coach looks like without being told what he looks like?
I want to say yes. I'm going to say okay. yes.
You think so, Bobby Johnson?
Sal, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm going 90% sure. And
are you sure it's
not
just Sal?
I'm pretty sure. Sal just texted me. He's at the Carrier Dome.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's at the Syracuse game today.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, anyway, I'll check in a couple more times. We're here till 2 o'clock. This is one of five locations, the Buffalo store. This is the one McKinley. It worked out perfect for me, Joe. I dropped off the camper, and then perfect. I just came here. And it's going to be hot tomorrow. Oh, my God.
Mid-70s, high 70s maybe even. High
70s.
No cloud cover.
And that's parking lot heat. Like, it's hitting you
right.
from both sides. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll be here till 2 o'clock. Deion Dawkins is going to be here at 1 o'clock, and we'll check in a bit later from the Buffalo store.
All right, cool. Thanks, Jeremy. All right, there's Jeremy White, and he'll check in a couple more times. So let's take a timeout now. We'll make sure we get to Jake Lisco on time here. Locked on Bengals. We'll preview the Bills' opponent for tomorrow next here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Come away from that and step back and go, maybe they're bad. History says if you go start off 0-2, not only do you have a 10% chance of even making the playoffs, you've got like an 85% chance of ending up with double-digit losses. So we're looking at best maybe 6-10 now.
That is Joe Goodberry of Locked On Bengals, who we're going to talk to one of his counterparts today. We're going to continue to get an update on the Bills' opponent for tomorrow, the Cincinnati Bengals. Joining us now on the Westher Hotline, Jake Lisco from Locked On Bengals. And Jake is joining us, obviously, on the Westher Hotline, as I just mentioned there. Jake, how are you today? Jake, do we have you? We might not have Jake. We're going to try to get that reconnected with Jake. You can follow him, by the way, at Jake_NFL. That's a pretty good handle to get, I think. You got the underscore in there, but just Jake NFL? That's something you're going to want to hold on to. Anyways, we talked a lot about the Bengals in the last segment here. So while we get reestablished with Jake, let's take a call. 803-0550 is the phone number. Well, we got a second here. Let's go to Buzz in Buffalo. Buzz, what's up, man? You're on Sports Talk Saturday.
Oh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Beautiful day.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to tomorrow, of course. I wish I was going. I can't go, but man, it's going to be crazy. Couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, I want to say, so last week on Saturday morning, I was listening to The Fan in New York City, and they were talking about the Giants and the Bills, previewing it. And I don't know if it was one of their beat reporters or if it was a national pundit, but they had a guy on in there, and he said, how do these guys make a paycheck? This guy should be wearing a ski mask. He said, the one thing you can do on the Bills is that their secondary is weak. You can pass on them. You know, so
on the Bills?
The Bills secondary. The Bills secondary was weak.
What?
And that's their weak spot, and you can pass on them. So I called and straightened them out. But anyway, what I really like in this week's matchup is that Cincinnati's offensive line is just decimated. I mean, and the Bills' defensive line, you know, Shaq Lawson, a healthy Trent Murphy, and the usual steady Jerry Hughes, I think they're going to have a field day. And I do worry. I like Andy Dalton as a quarterback. I like that they've changed their coach. I like that they're throwing the ball more. But when you're unbalanced like that and you don't have an offensive line, I think you've got a serious, serious problem. And I think the Bills will move the ball too, but I think look for the Bills' defensive line to really create some problems tomorrow. And yep. I can't wait to watch this game tomorrow. And let's go Buffalo, all right?
Hey, Buzz, thanks for the call, man, as always. Yeah, I don't know how anyone could think the Bills' secondary was a weakness of their team. That's definitely probably the strength of their team, to be honest. I know they're a little banged up right now. Levi Wallace had a thing that he was dealing with last week. Tre'Davious White's got a neck issue, but not to the point where they're not playing games. So, yeah, I think that's a little outrageous that anyone would have thought that. All right, we're good now. Let's go out to the West Hur hotline again. Let's try this again. At @Jake_NFL, Jake Lisco from Locked On Bengals joining us here on the West Hur hotline. Jake, we got you now. How are you doing?
You do have me now. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Beautiful. Thanks, man, for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day for us as we get a little update on the Bills' opponent for tomorrow. Starting with let's start with the spread, actually. The Bills are 6-point underdog or 6-point favorites, and part of that obviously is them being 2-0, but the other part of it is the Bengals and I think their struggles last week getting blown out by the 49ers. Do the Bengals deserve to be 6-point dogs, you think, in this game?
I think they probably do. I think I went into the San Francisco game thinking they would be able to stop the run against San Francisco. And it might be true that San Francisco has the best offensive line in football. That might also not be true. The Bengals absolutely could not deal with the speed of the 49ers. And I think a big deal for Buffalo is the fact that Devin Singletary is going to miss this week. That should make the Bengals look a little bit better on the defensive side of the ball. But they have quite a few injuries on that side of the ball themselves. And I don't know if they have an answer for John Brown right now either.
I was going to say, though, for the running back, if the Bengals had problems dealing with speed, I don't think Frank Gore, of all people, might present too many problems for them in that regard. How about their depth right now? I'm looking at their injury report. I'm seeing Cordy Glenn, of course, how we know here in Buffalo. A.J. Green obviously not playing, and they got a couple of other important injuries. Their depth seems to be really being tested here early in the season.
It's been tested since Zach Taylor came to town, it feels like. Clint Bowling retired, the starting left guard in the offseason. Cordy Glenn got hurt. Jonah Williams, their first-round pick, got hurt. So we're at left tackle number 3 and left guard number 3 because the original starter, Michael Jordan, is also hurt. And so we're looking at previous first-round pick moving from center, Billy Price, to play left guard. And a lot of Bengals fans have some hope left for Billy Price that he can put it together at left guard. Their replacement for him, Trey Hopkins, has been excellent at center. So, yeah, they're getting tested for depth. Missing A.J. Green is a huge issue, though. And on the defensive side of the ball, like you mentioned, they've got some injuries there, too. They're down to slot corner number 3, and that's Tony McRae, as Darquez Dennard is still on the PUP. And his replacement, B.W. Webb, I don't know, he might have broken his arm or something last week. Hard to say. He had a cast on his arm, and he didn't practice this week. So
okay. They're
down to slot corner number 3, and he's looking like he could be exploited.
Yeah, you mentioned A.J. Green hasn't been playing for them, and he's out with an ankle injury right now. What's interesting is I've actually been really impressed, and I think a lot of people around the league have been impressed with Tyler Boyd and John Ross through a couple games. Ross in particular, because, man, it just seemed like I think he had no catches in his rookie season. Like, he did not seem to be on track to have a breakout season, but through two games, I mean, he's been pretty impressive in my eyes.
Yeah, a lot of you guys know Joe Goodberry up there in Buffalo. He's been tracking John Ross's career with interest. He's my co-host on the podcast, of course. And John Ross, yeah, players that don't have any catches their rookie year tend to not bounce back. But the players that do bounce back are the ones that score touchdowns in year two. And John Ross was a statistical anomaly in year two. He had 7 touchdowns, but like 200-something total yards. And this year he's already eclipsed his previous yardage total. And he's still scoring touchdowns. So there's some hope left there for John Ross. He's finally playing. I think the speed is showing up a little bit more. There's some concern about his hands. And those concerns didn't show up when he was in Washington. So that's new. So we'll see if he buys a jugs machine or something like Sammy Watkins did.
So I think I have this right, that the Bengals have passed the ball more than any team in the league through a couple of weeks. How much of that do you think is circumstance in the fact that they have not really been able to get anything going on the ground game? And how much of that is, hey, new head coach Zach Taylor, young, innovative guy, that they were going to make a point of passing the ball anyway? What's the balance there?
I think they want to run the ball, but they can't. Their expected points per play when they run the ball on a drive, if you're into expected points added, is like -0.53, which is staggeringly bad, beyond fathomably bad. Their expected points added for passing the ball, and this is the same for Buffalo, the Bengals are tied in this metric, is 0.09. So at least they're positive when they pass the ball. But when they're running the ball, they're just giving up and down. They're either having penalties or they're going backwards. Joe did a really nice piece over on The Athletic this week breaking down the run game. Zach Taylor said that they had 12. He called them positive runs, which is the down and distance is positive for a running play. Like, this is the time we should be calling a run. It's not second and 16. And he said on those plays, it was just one guy. And you go back and you look at the tape, and a lot of times it is one guy. It might be close to working out, and maybe Billy Price getting in there jump starts the running game a little bit, but I think it's a lot of the running game isn't effective. And the way that San Francisco and Seattle came out was both of them kind of wanted the Bengals to pass the ball, and so the Bengals did in response.
Jake Lisco is on the Wester hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at @Jake_NFL. He's from Locked On Bengals. Let's talk about the quarterback for a second, kind of like a long-term outlook here, because Dalton is – I bring up a lot of times, like, I don't really want to ever be stuck in, like, I call it Tannehill purgatory. I think he's the better name to use for it, where you're just stuck with a guy that, like, hey, you can win with him, but basically everything else has to be almost perfect for you to do that. And I think Dalton is kind of fluttering, like, in that same type of range. How are the Bengals viewing him right now? Are they at all reaching a point where, hey, maybe if their season continues along this path and they continue to struggle, that this team could be one of the teams that's looking to draft a quarterback in the first round next year?
I think if they're as bad as Vegas and the national media seems to think they are, and they might be, and we're talking about, you know, winning two or three games, they have a top two pick, top three pick. I certainly hope that they strongly consider a quarterback, just because I think they have too many holes to plug it up with Andy Dalton at the helm, especially with the way that they approach free agency, and that's to say they don't participate in free agency. So, yeah, I think Dalton is right in the same school of quarterbacks. He is a fine starter in the NFL, but the analogy I heard that I like is you're the truck or the trailer. You're either pulling your team along or you're getting pulled along.
Right.
And I think Andy Dalton is at this point in his career, he's just more of a trailer. He's a great find for a second-round QB, but, you know, he's got 1 year left on his deal. You've got a new head coach. That seems like a great time to pick a new quarterback to me if you're picking in the top three.
Dude, that's a great analogy, I think, for that. You mentioned the national media and kind of Vegas has them as one of the lesser teams in the league. How good do you think they are?
Before the season, I thought they were maybe a 6-9 win team. That was the range, maybe 5-9 win team. After week one, I thought, okay, they're probably like an 8-win team. After week two, I'm down to maybe they're a 4-6 win team. Okay. So I'm kind of back to the lower end of that projection.
Gotcha. You can follow him on Twitter at @Jake_NFL. Any other, what are they looking like on defense? I think the offense gets talked about a lot, you know, fantasy football, like the quarterback, that's generally what people focus on. But how strong is the defense? I know Geno Atkins is a name that most people know as being like a dominant interior defensive lineman. But what's the defense look like as a whole in Cincinnati?
Yeah, Geno's still great. He's still the best player on the defensive side of the ball. We had a lot of hope going into the season that the secondary would be pretty good, but they've been having a rough time maybe transitioning to Lou Anarumo's defense. The Bengals have transitioned their base defense to a 3-4, 5-2, whatever you want to call it. It's the same as every other 3-4 in the league. It's a one-gap 3-4. So they're doing some different things up front. They're trying to minimize their linebackers' exposure on the field because the linebackers have looked absolutely awful. Nick Vigil can't tackle, and he might have a little bit of speed, but when he gets to the spot, he's missed three tackles according to Pro Football Focus, and he's only made four tackles this year. That's not a very good ratio. Preston Brown, who you guys know from Buffalo,
yep,
just looks slow. And he was quoted this week saying that he needs to slow the game down, and I think he's talking about mentally. He's, you know, thinking too much, or maybe the game's moving too fast for him, but if he has to slow it down to be in the right place, he's just going to be even slower to get there, and his speed has been an issue. He's been a sure tackler, but he has just not been able to get to where he needs to be.
Yeah, we know that. We know that very well here. One other guy, last question I want to ask you about here, Jake, is on tight end. Because when this Bill signed Tyler Kroft, I tended to think less that, hey, the Bills lured this guy away from Cincinnati, more so than I kind of liked what Cincinnati had going on at tight end. Like, when Eifert's healthy, which is pretty rare, but when he's healthy, like, I like him a lot. And even CJ Uzama, I kind of like too. So where do you think that came about? Like, do you think that the Bengals really wanted to keep a guy like Tyler Kroft, or were they satisfied with Eifert and Uzama and they were willing to let Kroft walk almost no matter what?
Well, they went out and spent a second-round pick on a tight end this year, so I don't know if they were happy to let Croft walk, but I think that they probably felt they had the guys on the team to make it work without him, with Eifert and Uzama being the core. And, of course, you can't rely on Eifert at this point in his career. And he's healthy so far, knock on wood. Right. He's one of my favorite players from a football talent perspective. He does some crazy things on the field, but he does look a little bit slower than he ever has coming back from yet another lower body injury. I mean, an ankle dislocation is pretty gnarly, but the first-round pick, Drew Sample's barely been on the field. They drafted him for his blocking. He struggled with run blocking because the Bengals asked their tight ends to block a lot of defensive ends one-on-one, and that doesn't go well unless you're named George Kittle. So I think the tight ends are a pretty good group, but I don't know if they're necessarily cut out for some of the jobs they're being asked to do. But, yeah, CJ Uzama, I talked to him for 25 minutes on the podcast this week. Really engaging guy, really bright guy. Came from not having a tight ends coach at all at Auburn, and now he, you know, he just signed an extension. And he's a really good athlete. He's a smart guy. I think that he's a solid tight end number two. Eifert, of course, when he's healthy, is your red zone target, and they've got to hope that Drew Sample, I think, turns into maybe Will Dissly, the Seattle tight end, who also came from Washington.
Right.
But he was drafted in the fourth round. So we had some concerns about the draft capital spent on Sample, but he could turn into a good blocker and a solid receiver.
Yeah. Eifert, man, is one of the most frustrating players to own as a fantasy football player that I've probably ever experienced just because of the injuries and always questionable or something like that. Hey, Jake, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate you taking the time out for us, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Yeah, you too.
There he is, Jake Lisco from Locked On Bengals. You can follow him, read his stuff, listen to his stuff, I should say, on Twitter at Jake_NFL. You can find his stuff there. All right, we will take a timeout, and we'll continue to roll along with the Bills and the Bengals tomorrow before we get to a little bit of fantasy football and also some Jaguars talk. Jalen Ramsey's yet to be traded. We'll talk to Mike Dempsey at noon. Sports Talk Saturday continues. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer. We want your calls at 803-0550 here on WGR.
Gotta keep working, man, one game at a time. It is an exciting time, but you know, just definitely gotta continue to work and continue to try to make you guys happy.
Bill safety Jordan Poyer. He's pretty good, that Jordan Poyer, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's all about making us happy. That's always a good thing.
We had all the safeties on this week. Saran Neal was on One Bills Live. Micah Hyde was on a show up in the Bulldog. Jordan Poyer was on with Howard and Jeremy. No love for Dean Marlowe, I guess. Sal talked to Dean Marlowe. We had sound from him. All the safeties. Getting them all in on the party. The Bills secondary. Buzz from Buffalo called in last segment and said someone in the national media, I forgot who he said, was saying that the Bills secondary could be taken advantage of. It's their best position group. Right? It's their best position group. That was part of the reason that I didn't think the Bills needed to trade for Jalen Ramsey. I never thought the Bills were going to trade for Jalen Ramsey. But it was an idea I kind of liked. Because you're a team that should expect maybe not to be in full-on win-now mode, like kind of like the Texans are, who've traded all their draft picks away to make sure that they're good right now. But you could. Like, you're good enough where you could do it. And even though you are good at corner, you're basically good at every position. So if that's the case, and I don't really have any big holes to fill, I should be in a spot where I can start thinking about what, like luxury, like a luxury player. And it would be a luxury to have two elite cornerbacks in Jalen Ramsey and Tre'Davious White. Now, I get that there's problems with it on the character side or whatever, but I don't care. The guy's one of the best at his position in the league, if not the best. If I can get him for a first-round pick, I'm doing it. But I'm not doing it for a penny more. And that's where the contract comes into it. That's where his ability to leave after 2 years comes into it. And then I have to start to question it. Because then it's a real win-now mode type of trade. And the contract part of it, too, that was my biggest holdup. If you traded for Jalen Ramsey tomorrow, which, again, it's not my least favorite idea. I don't think it's going to happen at all. I don't even think it's going to get traded at this point. The Jaguars owner might step in. You'd have to pay Ramsey and Trey White. That's a lot of money in one position. I don't love the idea of that because Trey White's going to get a big contract and Jalen Ramsey's going to be the highest paid player in that position. Like, that's going to happen. So even though you can afford that right now because you don't have a big quarterback contract to pay, Hey, one can hope you do have a big quarterback contract to pay at one point. We haven't even, when's the last time we approached that conversation? Should we pay the quarterback? I guess we got there with Tyrod for a hot minute, but they did it. So, but I'm talking bigger than even like a Tyrod contract. I'm talking like a monster deal. So, yeah, it's not my favorite idea in the world. We'll continue to talk some Jaguars, specifically Jalen Ramsey, what's going on there with Mike Dempsey, who's going to join me coming up after the break. And we'll get to him right after this. It's the night, or it's... Ooh. Listen, we should have a jar in here by now. When I say Nightcap, the show I host weekday 7 to 9, I have to put a dollar in there.
Well, this one doesn't
not,
count.
You know what I was going to say? I've never really fully said it, have I?
No,
I've
always
started
yourself.
To say it, and then I catch myself.
And then every time I point at you.
Listen, you host a show 5 days a week versus once every other week, maybe. It's bound to happen. It's bound to happen. Sports Talk Saturday rolls along. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR.